Let's go to 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10, and I want to see a way we should pray there. If we're going there, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for Obama. Lord, we pray for this guy to be unbound by the forces of darkness. These demons of hell that have bound this man, Lord, he's bound. And Lord, he's not a Christian at this point. He's not doing anything that you say a Christian must do. So Lord, we ask you to be merciful to that guy. Forgive his sins, unbind him, and then drag him into the kingdom of God and save him. If he has to come in screaming, Lord, bring him in and save him. And I know when you do that, it'll totally change his life. When he becomes a new creature, Lord, he'll get saved and the whole country can be turned around. Lord, and then let him be so full of the Holy Ghost that he'll go the other way just as bad, fast and hard as he's went away from you. Lord, we want everything. We want to do away with abortion. We want to do away with all this homosexual junk. We want to do away with all this stuff. We want to kick anybody that's not a Christian out of this country. We want to do it like it did in World War II. Whenever the Japanese that were over here when World War II started, they rounded up every Japanese and put them in prison, even if they were American citizens because they were Japanese. Lord, we want the Muslims removed from our country unless they will make Jesus Lord of their life. If they'll make Jesus Lord, then Lord, they're welcome to stay. But if they will not, we don't want them over here. Send them out of our country and make America a Christian nation again in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Now, Lord, you said we could ask for anything and you'd do it. Now then, in 1 Chronicles 4, 9, said, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Now, as you read that whole chapter, you see he's going down through and listing his brothers. And there's a whole bunch of them. But nobody was asking God for nothing. They were just telling about him. But when he gets down here to Jabez, Jabez was more honorable than his brother. Now, what does it mean to be honorable? A man of integrity. A man that you could trust. I mean, I know a lot of men in my life, but I don't know a lot of honorable men. I know a whole lot of men that are not honorable, that not men of integrity. I know a lot of those, but there are very few men that I could walk up and say, I will trust my life with you. Now, outside the church, I don't know anybody like that. Only a few in the church. And that's sad, because we ought to all be like that in the church. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow or pain. That's why she called him Jabez. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. Now, that's the first thing he done right. That's the first thing we will do right. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Isn't that awesome? Out of all this list of men going down through 1 Chronicles 4, none of them prayed to God except him. Now, let's read that in the NLT, Dave. Let's flip over to verse 10, just verse 10 in the NLT. And I want you to see what it reads like in the NLT. In verse 10, 1 Chronicles 4, 10 in the NLT. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and extend my lands. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. And God granted him his request. Hey, that sounds like a very good prayer, doesn't you? Now, why is it that so many people on this earth today, why is it that people don't pray and ask God those kind of things and believe he'll do it? Because they don't know him. They don't know him. As I've been in the healing ministry for 20 plus years now, the thing I've learned that is the biggest killer of men that say they're Christians is breaking the first commandment. When God said, who knows what the first commandment says? Do you think he meant that? Do you think if you don't do that, there's going to be a consequence? Absolutely. I mean, when I see men that are sick and afflicted, I mean, they've got cancer, or they're dying away, withering away, or whatever. And I say, have you produced any fruit? What do you mean? When's the last time you won somebody to Christ? Oh, I ain't never won nobody to Christ. You teach a Sunday school class? No, I ain't never had time. I've been too busy. Do you study the Word every day? No. Do you ever read the Word? I had a boy up here the other day. I said, do you study the Word? Not enough. I said, have you studied it any this last week? No. I said, well, that ain't enough. That ain't enough. You can't love God and put Him first and not be with Him every day, right? So I'm going to tell you how it works. It's just like, that's why God called us and Him a husband and wife situation. Now just imagine you as a man, you court some girl. I mean, you know, you court her and you want to be close to her. And finally, I mean, she yields to you and you say, would you marry me? And she says, gladly, you're the sweetest thing ever happened to me. And you marry her and you're standing here. And after the ceremony's over, you say, by the way, I've got a hotel room reserved down here. We're going to spend the night there tonight. And you go down there with her. And then that next morning you get up and you say, well, I've got to go back to work, honey. I'll see you later. And you go to work. And you go on a business trip. And 30 days later, you come back and you ain't called her. He really loved you, didn't he? Did he really love you? No. You know that, don't you? That's just like one day I was, there was a lady, I was up in Graham. And I was teaching these things about putting God first. And this lady said, I don't understand what you mean. Can you give me an example? I said, that guy sitting beside your husband? Yes. I said, how long you and him been married? 25 years. I said, oh, okay. I said, he come home to you every night? Oh, every night. I said, he a good provider? Absolutely. Does he tell you he loves you often? Yes. He's a good husband. I love him. And he loves me. I said, okay, 25 years. I said, let's say that the end of this week, he don't come home one night. And the next day when he comes home, you say, honey, where was you last night? Oh, I run into one of my old girlfriends, and I spent the night with her last night. I said, what are you going to do? She said, he's going to need a doctor. Oh, I said, he only messed up one night in 25 years, and you're not even understanding enough to let him get away with one night. She said, but he guarantees he's going to need a doctor. I thought you loved him. She said, I do. But I ain't going to let him get by with that. Now, does God love us? Does God let us get by with that? Yes, he does. I mean, how many men do you know that have committed adultery on God over and over? A month they didn't come to church. They never read his word. A year they didn't come to church. They didn't read his word. They're committing spiritual adultery every day out there in the world with the devil. And they're putting God on a back burner. Every day they don't see. They're in spiritual adultery. And they wonder why they get sick and afflicted with cancer. Finally, sometimes it may be a year. It may be 5 years. It may be 10 or 20 years. Depends on the individual. And depends on God. But eventually he's going to get fed up with that. And I can guarantee you, you're not going to live a long, good life. And then at about 45 or 50, you come down with terminal cancer, and they tell you, I'm sorry, sir, you're terminal, and you ain't never going to walk again. Then they're wanting to look for a healing ministry. And then they will call me on the telephone, or a friend calls me on the phone and wants me to pray for their friend so they can get out of the hospital. I said, it don't work like that. If they don't have the sense to come here and spend at least 4 hours with God in a healing school, that's why they're sick in the first place, because they ain't spending no time with God. Now, if you're spending time with God and you're obeying him, you're putting him first, what'll he do for you, brother? What'll God do for you if you're doing what he says? Everything he says. He'll just bless your socks off, won't he? Everything you put your hands to, he'll bless it. Which way do we want it? We all want to be blessed, but we don't want to spend the time with God. But Jabez did this. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and extend my lands. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. And God granted him his request. Now, see, that required, just like we read, as Dave read to you in Psalm 91 again, that's a great scripture for today. A great scripture. He that dwells, not he that goes in and out. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God. He's the one that says, he's my God, my Lord. He's mine. Then the Lord will take care of you. So see, people just don't understand. When people don't believe that God will put sickness and disease on you, I guarantee they hadn't been to this church very much. Because I've showed you scripture after scripture all the time that causes this. I mean, wow. I mean, it's amazing. In fact, if you don't know that God's the one put sickness on you, all you got to do, there's two chapters. I challenge you to read Deuteronomy 27 and 28. In those two chapters, there's probably at least 50 to 75 cases where it said, and the Lord afflicted you with this disease because of your sin. It's over, and just in them two chapters. So it's right there in those two, but it's all over the whole book. Now then, let's go to Psalms 83, and I want to talk a little bit about Psalms 83 and what's going on in the world today. Psalms 83, starting with verse 1. I'll put it in the NLT. Psalms 83, verse 1. Oh God, don't sit idly by, silent and inactive. Don't you hear the tumult of your enemies? Don't you see what your arrogant enemies are doing? Well, let's go down to 3 and 4. Let's see who these enemies are. They devise crafty schemes against your people, laying plans against your precious ones. Who do you think he's talking about there? Israel. They're scheming against Israel. Come, they say, let us wipe out Israel. Now, see, there's no doubt there, is there? Come, let us wipe out Israel as a nation. We will destroy the very memory of its existence. Are we hearing that today? I mean, is the Iranian president and the Muslim people over there absolutely saying that on national television? I've heard of myself. I've heard that president of Iran make that statement when he was in front of the UN the other day. He spent the first 15 minutes talking about his God, Allah, and nobody said a word. Not a word.
We are going to stop for today, but we will continue with the teaching tomorrow. If you would like to have this or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching in its entirety on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.